Good morning, Daryl.
Good morning. There, there, now you can see me.
Hi, yes.
Hi.
Pleasure to meet you. Morning, Liz.
Hey, how's it going?
Hi. Not too bad. How are you today?
Good.
Hopefully you weren't up too late.
No, no.
Good. Good morning.
Morning, everyone.
Hi.
Hi.
Morning, Debbie.
Morning. How are you?
Good. How are you today?
Good, thanks.
Good.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good
morning. Yeah.
Well, we have a quorum.
Yeah, I think we were expecting only one to be absent today. I'm just going to go back through my notes and see.
We have one vacancy, correct?
Vacancy as in somebody absent today, or a vacancy as in an open position on the...
Open position?
I don't know. I'm not seeing it in my email here of who we're missing, but it looks like everyone I'm expecting is here. Debbie, Liz, are you guys looking for anybody else in your team?
Nope, it's just Jason and Sina and Debbie and me.
So. Okay. Oh, hi. I didn't see you guys join, so welcome. Thank you. Well, it is 8:30. Rita, I believe you're muted, but I can see you talking.
Yes, indeed. I'm ready to read the statement.
Okay, can you give me one moment really briefly? I just want to verify one thing that I'm recording correctly. Give me one moment, if you will, and we'll be 60 seconds and starting. Okay, thank you for your patience. Looks like the video is recording. So Rita, if you don't mind starting things off for us.
Good morning. The Design Review Committee meeting of July 25th, 2023 is now open. My name is Rita Baker, and I am the chair of the Design Review Committee. Before we proceed with the meeting, I would like to let the audience know who we are and explain the process for the meeting. The Design Review Committee is a volunteer committee appointed by the Board of County Commissioners to review and make recommendations on design review applications referred to it by the Planning Director. This committee consists of a variety of professionals and community members with expertise in site and building design, including such elements as architecture, landscape architecture, engineering, and graphic design. The process for the meeting today will be as follows. Planning and Zoning Division staff will present a staff report. We will then have the applicant go over their proposed plans and address any issues raised in the staff report. Next, although this is not a land use hearing, we will provide an opportunity for public comment. The applicant will then have an opportunity to respond. Finally, the committee will discuss whether the application complies with the approval criteria and the zoning and development ordinance or can comply with appropriate conditions of approval. And the committee will vote on the recommendation. Although the committee is charged with making a recommendation on the application, the decision will be made by the planning director or designee. The planning director's decision may be appealed to the land use hearing officers by any party within 12 days of the date of the decision. Normally, if we were meeting in person, we would invite people to sign in, but we'll ask you to do that verbally, please. And if you'd like a copy of the planning director's decision, also verbally provide your address to staff. We also ask that everyone testify one at a time, speaking clearly into the microphone as this meeting is being recorded. Are there any questions? No. If there are no questions, I will open the meeting for file number Z0083-23-D. Please proceed with the staff report.
Thank you. Well, welcome and good morning. My name is Melissa Lord. I am speaking today on behalf of the Planning and Zoning Division for Clackamas County for land use file Z0083-23, which is a design review application for a new library and community center and public park near the intersection of McLaughlin Boulevard and Concord Road. I have a PowerPoint presentation today to share with you, so I will go ahead and share my screen. The subject property, just generally speaking, is about 5.9 acres. It has three zoning districts, which include the R7 and R8.5 zoning district, which are two urban low-density residential zones, and the open space management zoning district. This project has already received a conditional use permit, which was reviewed under land use file Z0020-23, and that was approved within the past couple months with conditions, one of the conditions being that a design review application is reviewed and approved as well. There are no environmental overlays that are mapped on the property, which could include rivers, streams, habitat conservation area, steep slopes, and things of that nature. This is an aerial photo of the property. You can see on this map here, McLaughlin Boulevard, Concord Road, bound the site, generally speaking, and then Oatfield Road is another major road further to the northeast of the site as well. And I'll do a bit more orienteering for us in a moment with this map, so stay tuned and I can provide a bit more description of this site. The proposal, as I just briefly mentioned, is for a new 15,000 square foot public library. It also includes renovating an existing structure on site, which is about 46,000 square feet, into a community center with indoor rec space, community space, as well as the North Clackamas Parks and Rec District offices. This building was formerly the Concord School up until a few years ago. The applicant proposes to include two new parking lots, or I suppose renovate two existing parking lots. The main parking lot, which would be accessed off of Concord Road, would include over 150 parking spaces, and a small secondary parking lot will be accessed off of Spalding Avenue, which would include about 6 parking spaces. The public park includes outdoor play equipment, trails, landscaping, and the primary entrance to the new library building will be oriented towards the main parking lot and main plaza area. So in terms of map orientation, again, our subject property is this parcel right here with a large green space and the existing buildings. The new library building is where I've circled generally in this orange oval shape. And then the community center will be located within this existing structure that I've circled with the red circle here. The two parking lots that are being proposed, the one will be a new parking lot or a renovation of the main parking lot here off of Concord Road. And then there'll be a smaller 6-space parking lot up off of Spalding Avenue. The public park will be off in this back area where we see all of the green space at the moment. This is the primary location of the park and park features. And then lastly, I had mentioned earlier that there were 3 zoning districts. These brown lines delineate the zoning districts of this site. And as you can see, predominantly the park and the parking lot will be in the open space management zoning district. Most of the existing building that will be used for the community center is within the R7 zoning district, and a small portion of that building is within the R8.5 zoning district. The site plan I've split up into 2 pieces, but here's kind of the left side. So we've got the community park. You can see that there's a walking trail or a walking path around the perimeter of this community park, which have connections into the adjacent neighborhoods. The new library building with the associated secondary parking lot, which is accessed off of Spalding Avenue at the top of our screen here. And my match line is a little off, but this is the remaining portion of the site plan provided by the applicant, which shows both the library building and the existing structure on site, the new primary parking lot, which is accessed off of Concord Road being to the right of our screen in this orientation of the image. The primary entrance to the library is where my mouse is in the small orange arrow, which faces the primary parking lot area and a community plaza area as well. The applicant has provided some renderings. The building in the top left image on our right here is the existing former Concord School building, the building that will be used for the community center and the Parks District offices. And the building on the left of this image is the new proposed public library. And you can see different images of the plaza space just as reference images. The summary of the staff recommendation at this point, staff did recommend denial to the design review committee. And so I'd like to talk just briefly about specific reasons why. And I think that we can get more into these issues a little bit more through this meeting. First, it wasn't a recommendation for denial, but a recommended condition should the application be approved was related to the pedestrian connectivity through the parking lot. Staff noted that the 158-space parking lot accessed off of Concord Road did not have any pedestrian connectivity from the far end of the parking lot to the library or to the community center building. So due to safety concerns and connectivity issues, staff had recommended that at least one walkway be provided to connect from the back side of the parking lot to the main plaza area. Next, there is a requirement in the zoning code that says at least 50% of the street frontage has to have buildings sited within the first, within the minimum front yard depth. This can vary between 15 or 20 feet, depending on whether there are pedestrian amenities provided. This applies to the Concord frontage and the library and not Spaulding Avenue. And so I'll put a pin in this momentarily and circle back. I did make an error in the staff report, so I'll clarify that for the group momentarily. Another issue that was determined during the staff report was the issue of bicycle parking. So at the time the report was written, staff was unable to determine the number of bicycle parking spaces required, and subsequently whether or not spaces had to be covered based on the number of bike parking spaces required, as well as different requirements for covered bike parking should covered bike parking be needed. And so it is my understanding that the applicant's ready to speak about bike parking in a little bit more detail today. And so we can hopefully resolve this issue. Lastly, modifications may be requested by the applicant pursuant to section ZDO section 1005.06. And this allows an applicant to request a modification to any standard in section 1005.02 or 03, which are the site design standards and the building design standards. So a modification request will be necessary because the library is not sited within 15 feet of Concord Road. And again, we'll talk about this momentarily. Updates have been made since the staff recommendation was sent out last week. So just briefly, I had written in the staff report that there was a plant identification on the landscape plan that wasn't actually included in the plant schedule. So I did receive that information from the applicant of the omitted plant acronym. And so we do have that information available to us for the landscape plan now. The Oak Lodge Water Services, who's the water, sewer, and surface water authority for this development, did provide their comments and did confirm that with some conditions, the standards of Section 1006, which is our utility standards, can be met. The applicant provided information to us pertaining to the canopy sign that's proposed for the community center. And so it's approximately 12 square feet. And so now we'll have enough information to determine and verify that the sign code standards are being met as well for this. Lastly, a modification request was provided by the applicant pursuant to section 1005.06, discussing why they're going to request a modification to have at least 50% of the street frontage along Concord Road not be developed with buildings at the front yard depth line. So circling back to what I had mentioned before, there is a point of clarification that I do need to make from the staff report. I had mistakenly read through section 1005.02, specifically the right-of-way vacation pertaining to the right-of-way vacation that the applicant is proposing from Spaulding Avenue. The location of the front yard line on Spaulding Avenue is going to be changing. The front setback is measured from the shortest distance between a structure and the front lot line. And the applicant's proposing a vacation of a portion of Spaulding Avenue right-of-way. Again, I believe the applicant's going to speak to this a little bit later on in their presentation. Effectively, section 1005.02 requires the minimum 50% of the street frontage of the development site to have buildings located within the minimum front yard depth line, which again is either 15 feet or 20 feet, depending on what amenities are provided. This pertains specifically to the library and Concord Road, not the library and Spalding Avenue, which is what I had written in my staff report. So I do want to make that point of clarification. The building entrance does not need to face a street if the walkway that connects to the street is at least 8 feet wide and developed with landscaping and pedestrian amenities. And it looks like to the library, the applicant has provided that. So the issue that I'll resolve in my staff decision once we do write that is that the applicant needs to request a modification as to why their building's not within 15 feet of the library is not within 15 feet of Concord Road rather than Spalding Avenue, which is what I had mistakenly written. So that's the summary that I have prepared for you. I will go ahead and stop sharing my screen and ask any questions, if you have any questions for the DRC members at this time. Okay. Thank you.
No.
No. Okay. Would the applicant please tell us what you think of the report and the modifications you have in mind?
Sure. And we have a little bit more backup to show you all in terms of just the design, if now is the appropriate time to share that, and then what we've kind of started working through with Melissa.
Excuse me, could you identify yourself?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm Liz Mansour. I'm the project manager from Opsis Architecture. I also have with me Sina Meyer, who is the project architect, Debbie Cleek with Booking Group, who's been spearheading our planning process with these projects, and Jason Varga from Clackamas County, who's the project manager for the Gladstone and Oak Lodge library projects. Thanks for having us. But yeah, we have a short kind of a little bit of a recap of what Mel's shown, and then I can show you kind of the conversation we've been having around these specific items that Melissa has identified in the report. Do you mind, Mel? I think you're the host, right?
Yes. Are you unable to share your screen?
Yeah.
Okay, give me 1 second. try now.
Yes, that works. Great.
Thank you.
okay. So I think, as well as the project team that's here, I think there's probably some people in the audience that, just acknowledging there's been a wide range of champions and advocates that have been working on this project over the past many years. We started with a master planning process, I think back in 2018, that included a 15-person task force, public outreach events and outreach to specific focus groups. And then that effort culminated in the task force recommendation to the Board of County Commissioners which was adopted in early 2021. We've continued design on both projects since then. The task force has stayed on as an advisory group, helping with the design during that process. And over the past couple of years, these projects have evolved due to the realities of budget and funding balance and changing priorities in terms of programming. But I think in general, the design is really in alignment with that master planning effort. This is what Mel had showed before. It's maybe just a little bit easier to see in color and kind of orient you on the site. And you can see the siting of the library is very much tied to the site conditions, and respecting the location of that historic Concord School and its relationship to Concord Road, as well as not pulling forward from that historic face. These projects are trying to create a campus with a shared plaza where you can access the main entry to the library, as well as this new accessible entry to the community center. Currently, the main entry to the community center is up a set of stairs onto the second level. This would provide accessible entry on grade, and I'll show a little bit more about that. The plaza also creates a pedestrian entry off of the parking lot into the playground and park, which Mel described. You can see our current right-of-way location for Spalding, which is part of the which is helping driving the siting of the library as well. Finding balance between maintaining visual and pedestrian access into the park, as well as maintaining fire truck and car turnaround off Spalding. We're also trying to site the library so that we maintain functional open park space area here, but finding a balance between an inviting and safe area between the two buildings. So that's kind of our shoehorn on the site. And then the main parking lot is essentially in the same location as the existing, but with the addition of a secondary entrance to provide more straightforward circulation, ADA access, and a drop off into that plaza. We're still maintaining this entry off Concord Avenue for trash and maintenance and emergency access. This is that view of the main entry of the library from the shared plaza with a really generous low slope ramp up to the main entry. We've oriented all of our public spaces towards the perimeter of the building to really take advantage of that natural light and this idea of connection into the park. We've tried to create materiality and datum lines that start to relate back to that existing building. You can see this is the new entry off of the plaza for the community center. Part of this campus creation is tied to the brick blend that we're suggesting. This is the existing brick blend on the Concord School, and we're pulling elements from that to create this ruby red, this Columbia red and ruby blend brick mix on the library. You can see this is our exterior finish palette. We have our brick. We also have a perforated metal sunscreen to add the sense of lightness and also obviously sun protection, and I'll talk about that in a sec. And then we have a white storefront and curtain wall that starts to relate into the punched openings and the trim at the existing school. I wanted to share a tiny bit of background about the sunscreens. We had come, our preliminary design was very much tied to the historic school and pulling these datum lines and still trying to create soffitted areas to create overhangs for sun control and glare control. And with feedback from the task force and understanding the importance of creating a verticality and this more civic feel, we pulled up larger window openings within this brick mass and then created sun protection with those sunscreens. And the idea for that is to create this kind of light and dynamic veil that offsets the brick, starts to reference the texture in the Concord brick of the Concord School, starts to allude to language and this idea of collecting and sorting and stacking and the collection of books within the library. But then hopefully with an overlay of nature, knowing we're in a park and there is, we are in Oak Lodge, so, you know, an idea of an oak tree and the dappled sunlight coming through the canopy of the tree. So you'll start to get that idea inside the building as the light shines onto the white walls of these light cannons behind the sunscreen. At night, we'll start the light from the interior will start to create a little bit of wayfinding and identity for the building as well. Really quickly, here is the plaza view, and you can see the relationship between those two buildings. The plaza is set up so that the removable bollards can allow an event to happen on that plaza with food trucks or other support. This is this important aperture that we're trying to maintain into the park. You can see the corner of the school here and the view of the playground, the amphitheater, and then the large open field. this is a large aperture from the library out into the park, really framing that view into the park. You can see the splash pad adjacent to it. This is plan north, this is actual north, plan west, which means that we're able to remove some of that sunscreening element and take advantage of the indirect north light. This would be what you would see as you walked in from Spalding with the large open field. And if you were coming from one of the neighborhood entries and looking into the park. I only want to touch on this really briefly because it helps understand the decisions we've made on the exterior. We have this area of the building is open after hours and provides a meeting room and bathroom and support spaces. The majority of the library is open stack area, and you can see with along the windows and the large window to the park, our lounge seating, the children's area is tucked slightly out of the way for a little visual and acoustic separation, but still oversight, and then some support spaces back here. You walk into this main gallery space with an entry either into the meeting room or the library. You can see we have this is the large window into the park. We're using DLT for acoustic properties. And we have a large clear story that wraps the north and east sides of the building to allow for that diffuse light for the library. This is our children's area that starts to provide some aspects for discovery and wonder, and some little cool nooks for kids to sit in, and a large ceiling installation that helps bring the height of that DLT roof down to children's size. And then this is some more seating along those large windows along the plaza side. Just briefly touching, the community center scope of work is mainly tied to mechanical upgrades, but the accessibility is the main architectural move. And this is the new vestibule and lobby and the ad alternate for the library within it. And there will be some graphics in that lobby that start to allude to the historic nature of the site. So that's kind of the brief overview of adding to what Melissa said about the design. Melissa, I'll let you, these aren't quite in the order that you discussed, so let me know if we want to shift gears.
I think you're doing a great job, Liz, and I'm comfortable if you keep passing forward with this section. Sounds good.
Okay, and please don't hesitate to stop me, anyone, if you have questions. We've been working with Mel to determine the bike parking calculations. This is one of those projects where it doesn't fit cleanly into one of the categories. We had originally proposed 30 stalls or 30 space for 30 bikes, 10 stalls being located here and 5 stalls being here. We've recalculated and our target is probably close to 37, which, as Mel mentioned, kicks us into recovered parking being required and then some of that being secure. So our proposal is to provide a bike room within the first floor of the Concord Community Center to accommodate those additional bike stalls. Another part of Mel's report was just understanding the suggested screening at the trash enclosure. It's a pretty straightforward approach. We have a 6-foot high chain link fence with vinyl slats. We're suggesting a brown to blend in with the surrounding exterior brick and provide that additional screening. Mel already touched on this and showed one of our construction drawings tied to the clarification on the signage at Concord and how we're planning on handling that. But just visually, this is a freestanding metal signage of that says Concord Community Center. They're 8 inches tall. A similarly sized sign adjacent at the library, but this proposed one would be recessed. So slightly different identities, but a kind of campus language that's being developed. We also have some just general ID and informational signage that's vinyl applied on the window of the library. I'm going to skip this one. We'll come back because that's the complicated one. Another aspect of the report was providing screening between and buffering between the residential zones adjacent to this portion of the site. And so we have some existing tall hedges on our property that I believe provide the intent of the buffering in this zone. There is existing trees that are shown in blue, but on the neighboring property. So I think that the next steps will be us working with Mel to determine the appropriate screening in the zone circled in red. That's the remaining aspect of that property line, we feel. She mentioned the path through the parking lot and creating a safe pedestrian circulation through the site to the network that we've created within the park. This is a little hard to understand, but the red is the part of the parking lot we're proposing shifting slightly to accommodate a pedestrian path between these two rows of parking with associated wheel stops that would lead you from this side of the parking lot through to the plaza near the main entry. Any questions so far before I dive into the Spalding Avenue setback? And I'm going to share kind of our process, and Debbie might jump in. And basically what we're proposing, this bulb is the existing right-of-way that's highlighted in yellow. Jason's currently working on a vacation for the entire right-of-way. And we're working with Ken Kent to finalize the improvement design, but essentially it would be a paved T-shaped turnaround that would allow for both car turnaround shown in pink and then extensions for the fire truck turnaround shown in orange. You can see there is the overlay of the parking spaces, which are mainly within our property now, outside of the right-of-way. The complexities with the setback, you can see if we take it from the building edge to the edge of the right-of-way bulb, we're between 5 to 8 feet. If we take the setback from the right-of-way up at Spalding, we're closer to 98, 99 feet. But as a design team, we feel like we're pretty locked into the current location of the library based on allowing the sufficient fire truck turnaround and also pedestrian access on the plan south side and that relationship to the historic school facade and making sure we're not coming proud of that and disrupting that balance. Debbie, do you want to maybe talk a little bit about our proposed modification? Yeah.
Well, I think we probably need to talk to Mel about this a little bit because I think as of yesterday, our understanding was that we needed to ask for a modification to the setback on Spalding because we were not meeting the, if we counted the setback from the edge of the access easement, the hammerhead turnaround, then we would not be meeting the R7 front setback. If we counted it from the edge of the right-of-way, which is going to be up at the property line, then we're not meeting the requirement that 50% of our building frontage be within 15 feet of the right-of-way frontage. So we were under the understanding that we needed to get a modification for one or the other of these standards to be able to site the building where we have it. But it looked like from the staff report this morning that, Mel, have you determined that we do not need a modification?
Yeah, I'd be happy to chime in. Thank you, Debbie. Okay. So it is the Spaulding Ave right of way is a complicated, generally complicated for many reasons, but the applicant team's been working with our development engineering team, Ken Kent, specifically to make this work. And I it seems like we're getting very close to being, to calling it a working, working right away and working turnaround. Yes, Debbie, you're absolutely right. The modification request will, I misread the code section. So the code section says when you've got frontages on multiple streets, the 50% of the longest frontage needs to be sided with buildings. In this case, that's Concord Road. So I had misread that portion of the code, and so that was an error in my staff report. So you're correct. The modification request would be effectively why we've put the library not within the first 15 feet of Concord Road. And the way to make that modification request would be to demonstrate how the proposed design meets the goals of that section 1000 or the purposes of section 1005. And the purpose statements are in section 1005.01, right at the very top of that section. So yeah, Debbie, you're absolutely correct. That was an error on my part. So Liz, if you're able to maybe go back to that diagram, I'll just
actually drive. Go ahead. Yeah, since we're on this slide, I think it's a useful slide to talk about. You know, we did submit the modification yesterday for the Spaulding setback thinking that's what we need, but I think I can talk a little bit to how we would justify a modification to the Concord setback. As Liz mentioned, the Concord, I don't know if we really hit on this too hard, but the Concord School, this is actually the first school site in Oak Grove with a school established in 1890. That original school building was demolished, and the school that you see on the site now was built in 1936 and has been part of this community for nearly 100 years. It's a beloved building. It's eligible to be on the National Register of Historic Places, though it has not been listed at this point. And, you know, keeping this building and finding a useful use for it is paramount to the surrounding neighborhood. They really feel a lot of emotion towards this building since it's been in this community for so long and so many people have gone to school there. So because it's a historic building with historic character and it's the predominant building on the site, we really want to respect it as the paramount building as you approach the site from Concord. So we are trying to tuck the library behind that building to keep the elevation from Concord looking as it has historically. The other challenge we have is that, you know, we do need a lot of parking for this use. They're both uses that have a lot of parking need, and we've really tried to compact the parking as much as possible into the corner of the site to allow the maximum amount of site left over for the park and the playground. So, you know, if we had to move that building towards Concord, the new library building, then we would have to move the parking off of Spaulding or find some other way place to put the parking. Spaulding is not an ideal frontage to be using to access this site. It's a local service street that doesn't have, it's partially improved. I think it's paved. I'm trying to remember if it's paved or if it's graveled, but it definitely doesn't have any curbs, sidewalks. It goes through a quiet residential neighborhood. And so we are really trying to downplay Spaulding as an access to the site. So to move the parking further towards Spaulding in order to move the library to the Concord frontage would mean that we would then have to access the site through Spaulding, which just isn't a great fit for this neighborhood. So we feel like this solution that we've come up with is the best location for the library to sort of keep the residential character of the neighborhood to the in this plan north. You know, keep it quiet and keep very minimal traffic going through there. That small parking lot you see will be mainly used for library staff and will not be encouraged for the public to be accessing it. The other piece to talk about is the plaza. I mean, we've really spent a lot of time trying to figure out how to circulate the public through the site. So we've created that large plaza in front of the two buildings to sort of connect these three uses together. And so kind of shifting all of these pieces around the site would probably eliminate that plaza and would make the flow through the site much more disjointed. So we feel like we've come up with the best solution in terms of working with the irregular site, the fact that there's three different zonings on the property that all have three different zone, you know, development standards, keeping as much of the park preserved as possible, and then just creating the best flow through the site that we could. So that's kind of what we would write a modification, kind of our justification around why we have put these buildings where they are.
Thanks, Debbie.
Mel, did you want me to go to the Spalding?
No, I think, Debbie, you just did a great job kind of addressing all of that and hopefully steering us back on track, because I know that's a complicated situation, and having my staff report be in error doesn't actually make it any easier to understand. But thank you. I think that for me anyways, that was really helpful.
Are there any members of the public who would like to testify? And if so, I think Melissa has to allow you in, and please identify yourself.
It looks like we just have one member of the public in the audience today. So if you do want to participate, you can use the raise hand button and let us know.
I'm not seeing anybody.
Yes, and I've got a hand raised. So let me.
There we go.
There we go.
Thank you.
Welcome.
Yeah, my name is Grover Bornefeld, and I've been involved with this project since 2015. And I just really want to speak to the significant amount of community involvement that has been going on since that time, and then the last five, almost 6 years of the task force, the Concord Planning and, excuse me, Concord Property and Library Planning Task Force. So anyway, it took us a lot of work to put all these pieces together in such a way that meets all the varied needs. We even had a representative from a local neighbor on the task force, and parks people and library people, et cetera, technical people and art people. Anyway, this is the jewel that put it all together. And I just really want to speak to and thank everyone that got us this far. And we hope this part of the process is able to adjust and focus on the things that are necessary to keep it going. We've been waiting for this library for more than 30 years, it's really key to the neighborhood. That there are so few parks in this part of the world, to have a park and a children's playground in a natural setting is really an accomplishment, and really is a strong focus of so many people in the community. So all I just want to do is say, it is a phenomenally complicated and yet beautiful solution to a long-term problem. And looking forward to seeing it in real life. That's all I want to say. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Bornfeld.
Okay, Liz, did you have any particular conditions that you wanted to address beyond what your presentation was? And if not, I'll close the discussion and open it up to the committee members.
I don't think that we had any additional feedback. Debbie, is there anything that I've missed that was on your radar?
The only thing
possibly the street trees, which was another late issue that we learned about this week, that we have issues with not providing adequate street trees on Concord, but we are working with our landscape architect to figure out what trees are, where to place those trees, and what, you know, what species and size and all that sort of thing. So we think it's a resolvable issue. I do not think we have any issues at all with the conditions of approval of the staff report. It's more, you know, we just are concerned that the recommendation is for denial, and we believe they're all resolvable issues and that we can get there, and that we have been working on getting there with all of them since the staff report came out last week. So that's really the what we want to convey to the committee.
So I'll let Todd and Tracy and Daryl speak.
And Rita, if I may, Chetamir is in the audience. We're just having trouble switching him over to a panelist, but he is here available.
Okay. All right. Hi, Chetamir. Very good. Jump in, folks. Mm-hmm. Oh, Tracy.
Yeah. First of all, I'm Tracy Orvis. I'm really happy to see what's happening here and what's being proposed here. I think you've made a great use of the site. I can see all the challenges that you faced in putting this together. And just reading through the report and kind of the background of the project, I think you've done a really great job getting the community involved and on board and making sure they're all vested in what's happening. So just want to start with that. I guess I also kind of have a question for Melissa about the recommendation for denial. As for me, that's the first time I've actually seen a recommendation for denial. So I think especially after seeing the presentation today, showing that there is a proposed solution for the parking, having that pedestrian access through the center of the parking area, that's what I would have suggested. So it seems like it makes sense. And I think now that the issue of Spalding versus Concord has been kind of worked through, I think the reasoning behind the siting of the library makes sense. It makes the site a lot more pedestrian focused off of Concord, just by kind of keeping that parking off to one side so you can actually circulate through on foot through the center, and kind of creating that long or I think just organizationally that makes more sense than having the two buildings on Concord and then circulating in, through a very narrow channel through them to get to the rest of the site. So I guess from my perspective, I'm personally feeling supportive of where this is going. So I just wanted to say that much. I appreciate you working through the changes to the facade, because I'll admit when I first looked at the presentation that was provided initially, which didn't have the full drawing set, and it just had kind of the gray elevations on there, I was like, oh, what is this? But after seeing the progression, seeing the actual elevations, I felt much more comfortable with where it was going. So I just want to say thank you for your efforts. And those were all my comments that I had.
And I'd be happy maybe to follow up with you, Tracy. The recommendation for denial is just for the moment. I think, as we've already talked about so far, a lot of the issues can be resolved. It just didn't make sense at that moment in time for me to write a recommendation of approval when I didn't have enough information to find to make findings for all of our relevant standards. But I agree. It seems like we're well on the right track to getting there. And then so addressing things like bike parking, and now we can confirm that the bike parking standards are going to be met.
That's great. Yeah. It was just a new one for me. So I was like, oh, look, how do we push?
Yeah, it seems like we can get there. It's just getting there.
Yeah, got it. Okay, thanks.
I would like to concur with everything that Tracy has said. I had the same concerns initially when I saw the packet, and I really appreciate all the outreach you guys have done to the community and the community involvement that's been there. And I can now see more clearly where the site plan has evolved from. And there are some topographic challenges here as well that weren't mentioned. And I think that comes into play as well. One concern I had is, anyone reached out to SHPO regarding this? Okay, we didn't see any comments on the staff report or anything.
We currently have submitted to SHPO tied to the community center and the new entry. And we're working on an MOA with them.
Okay. And those are really my only concerns.
Yeah, Todd and I both served on the county's historic review board. And as I looked on page 13, you know, safety and historic protection, and there was no discussion of a 1936 building being looked at by the review board, any documentation of its history. I'm all for adaptive reuse, keeping these buildings alive. But, you know, the history of it and photo documentation before the changes are made is normally what you would see.
And I believe it was a WPA project as well.
Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
Yeah. And that, and our proposed mitigation will incorporate those historic photographs and documentation of the existing building.
Daryl?
I had some comments about the pedestrian park pathway. And can I share my screen?
Yes, you should be able to.
Okay. Can you see it? You can't. Can you see it? Can you hear me?
Hear you.
Yes, we can
hear
you.
Oh, okay. Right. So what am I share? Select a tab to share. Oh, can I share it on my screen? Or I just copied it.
You should be able to press the share screen button and then select which one of your screens or which one of your files you have open that you want to select.
Yeah, I hit share screen.
Daryl, if it would be happy, if it would be helpful, if you're trying to pull up a site plan, I can also do that for you.
Oh, why don't we pull out the, your pedestrian pathway to the,
yeah,
goes through the parking lot.
Can you all see that okay?
Yeah, yes. So this needs the pathway needs to go all the way to this, all the way to the street, correct?
My recommendation was that the pathway provided connectivity from the bottom edge of our screen, those parking areas, through to the top where the plaza and the main building entrances were.
Oh, I was under the impression it had to go to the all the way to the street and the sidewalk to comply with the.
And there is this. Sorry, Daryl.
Go ahead.
Oh, there is a pathway where Liz's mouse is showing near the top hand of our. Top end of our page that crosses from Concord Road sidewalk adjacent to the ADA parking to the main plaza area as well, which is, I believe, a 6 foot wide sidewalk in that area.
I believe you're right.
So it says 5 feet. Where's the, I thought it had to be 8. This one right, the one that says 5 feet right here from the, it's going right through the parking lot.
This proposed new one.
Yeah, I thought that had to be 8 feet.
I may be incorrect. I think that the addition of wheel, our impression was the addition of wheel stops could reduce that width, but we have flexibility to increase
the width. I thought it had to go all the way to the sidewalk that's at the main street that borders the parking lot.
I'm just pulling up the code section now. So give me a moment. Let me come back to that for you, Daryl. I believe it's 5 feet with wheel stops, as Liz mentioned, but I'll read through this and circle back.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I believe it said that it was supposed to be 8 feet. Well, if the part, if the app doesn't have to go to the sidewalk on the street, I don't really have any comments, I guess, because it's essentially, yeah, just, that's all I have to say.
I do think an 8 foot wide walkway from Concord back to the plaza would be more appropriate there.
Okay.
And just so I'm following, Daryl, you are thinking that the walkway cutting through the middle of the parking lot would need to be 8 feet, and then Todd, you're thinking that it would make more sense.
It would have to tie to the street sidewalk.
I think personally, the one through the parking lot is fine at 5 feet. That's adequate for ADA and for the traffic that you would probably see there. But I think we want to get people in off Concord. In lieu of putting the building up there, we need to create that access. And I can see, you know, people in strollers and things trying to pass there. And 5 or 6 feet is not really adequate. 8 feet would be generous.
And frankly, I'm not seeing how that 5 foot sidewalk really. I mean, all the other people are just walking through the parking lot, and then you're giving, you know, these a couple people say, okay, now you get on the sidewalk and you're going to stay there. They're just going to walk around their cars like everybody else and walk through the parking lot. It doesn't seem to be accomplishing a lot to me. If it's not really a connection, it's just kind of like making the access for that, those 10 spaces, a little bit safer, unless there's, you know, some type of wheelchair, something that's, so anyway, there's my comment.
Edimer, you on board? Do you have any questions or comments? Would that be yes or no? Does he need to raise his hand, Melissa?
There he is.
Hey, this is Chet. I have a lot more to add from what all of you guys contributed so far. So I think as you guys work through the issues with the staff, I think this looks a good project for community.
All right, thank you. I guess what would be helpful for me, Melissa, is if you could summarize the modifications or additions for us, and then the committee can make a recommendation.
Sure. So it looks like today we've discussed requesting a modification pursuant to section 1005.06 for effectively not placing the new library building within 15 feet of Concord Road. And that's due to maintaining the predominancy and the significance of the historic Concord School building as really the face of Concord Road and what you see first, by tucking away the library behind that existing Concord, former Concord School building, we can maintain that that impact that the building has as the visual characteristic and identity of that Concord Road frontage. Then additionally, that would reduce traffic, specifically vehicular traffic off of Spalding Avenue, and it would limit pedestrian traffic off of Spalding Avenue for if we were to move the library up to Concord, vehicle access would have to be taken from that much smaller street, which is a quiet residential street. So it helps to detract any vehicular and pedestrian traffic in that sense off of Spalding Avenue. The additional information presented as it relates to bicycle parking that Liz presented to us today, I think that gives us a clearer understanding of how many spaces are required. And it does demonstrate that by providing a bike parking room within the community center, that the standards of Section 1015.03 for requiring a certain number of bike parking spaces, as well as a certain number of them being covered, can be met.
How about Reader's Digest version?
Oh, I apologize.
I have a plane to catch.
Yeah. Oh, got it. I think we've covered a lot of ground here. It looks like the applicant has made some adjustments that would have, you know, had we gotten before I written my staff report, probably made a recommendation more for approval, or certainly had fewer issues that needed to be resolved. And so it sounds like from our discussion, there's some uncertainty as to whether or not the walkway through the parking lot is providing any safer circulation through the 158 spaces. So if you have any more comments, I think I would appreciate that. But otherwise, it looks like generally the DRC members are supportive of the application, specifically about how public outreach was has occurred.
Okay, so we're talking about the Spalding, you know, that right-of-way issue. We're talking about bicycle parking. We're talking about traversing through the parking lot. I'd like to add as a recommendation the documentation of the historic building, maybe even archaeology. You know, if this site has been a school, even though the previous one was demolished, there might still be something there, and photo documentation, and that be reviewed by the Historic Review Board. And did I cover everything? I think I agree with everybody that this can be conditioned and worked through. And I am also excited for the community to have this new park and facility. So I'm looking for, if we've articulated the changes or the conditions we recommend, maybe I can get a motion. You can do it, Todd. You're smiling.
I move to approve the I move to approve.
I think we need to move to approve with the following conditions. That we approve the modifications of the site frontage requirement based on the formal approval by staff of the modification request that needs to be forthcoming. We condition that we have an 8-foot wide pedestrian connection to Concord rather than the what's shown. There's documentation from SHPO, and the project goes before the Historic Review Board for approval as well. The bike parking and garbage enclosure is approved by staff through the normal process. And I would also like to support the vacation of Spalding Avenue. That would eliminate your setback issue there. Anyone else have anything else to add?
I think Daryl inadvertently seconded it. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All right. Thank you so much. Look forward to seeing this.
Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you.